Well, I know that your hearts are breaking because right now we're not talking about COVID. I apologize for that, but give me kind of a break from that because something really cool has happened in Buffalo and Western New York over the past several weeks and months, and that is the filming in 40 or 50 different locations of the as-yet untitled movie about Cabrini. And joining us right now, I mean, no project can proceed without financial backing. And joining us right now actually is a legend of American business. And his name is Eustace Wolfington. Mr. Wolfington, thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing, Tom? Pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. How did you become involved in raising money and becoming an investor in this project?
I'll give you a real quick history. In 1955... I was looking for a place to go to Mass early in the morning, and I walked in this church, and I saw the statue of a woman I didn't know, and the priest said, I'm going to give a nine-week novena. I went to it. I never heard of Mother Cabrini in my life, but I was so impressed with what I heard that I made her my patron saint because she was a make-it-happen lady, and I wanted to make things happen. 55 years later, a nun walked in my office and said, will you help us do a movie on Mother Cabrini? I said, I'd love to, but I can't. For three years, I said no. And finally, she invited me up to Cabrini's shrine in New York and introduced me to a film company from Italy that was going to do a movie on Mother Cabrini. And when I saw what they were going to do, I said to her, I said, sister, you can't do that to Cabrini. She was too dynamic, too great a woman. We have to make a Gandhi film. Gandhi was Hindu. That didn't get in the way of the movie. I said, we have to do a movie of a great woman who just happened to be a nun. And that's how it started. I had to get a scriptwriter. I went to Milan, spent 10 days in her hometown, went to the Vatican, went through her trial. Then we read 22 books on her life. And I then went to New York, Chicago, Denver, New Orleans, Seattle, all the sites that she had worked. And then I said to the writer, now you can write the script. And he wrote a really magnificent script. We had it rated by all the top agencies. Out of 0 to 5, we got 4.5s and 5s right across the board. So with that, we had to put together a production team. I had done a movie called Bella back in 2006. I called on the same production team, Alejandro Monteverdi, Leo Severino, and the writer. And we, of course, we were able to pick up Jonathan Sanger, who did The Elephant Man. And we, Mother Cabrini had a saying, start the mission and the funds will come. And so we started the mission with the funds to come. And I just went out and started raising money on the story of her life. But the director had a vision on the film that he was going to make one of the best 10 films ever made. Now, that's a very outrageous statement. But we really went to work with that thought. And every shot of this movie is shot in such a way that anyone watching it will feel it. It's a masterpiece in lighting. It's almost like a work of art. But the acting within that is spectacular.
I mean, you've had a long and storied career. Where does your involvement in the Cabrini Project fall in your continuum of great things you've done?
Well, I got backed into it. So that was a little, starting out, that was a, but I would say that my feeling from looking at the results, it's at the top of my list. I always wanted to make, my goal was to make Cabrini known worldwide. And we had a great Italian cast. 40% of this movie is going to be shot in Italian with English subtitles. We had a great cast of from of American actors, and I just think the acting is superb, the cinematography is superb, and I'm just so grateful. I think the movie's going to be a masterpiece, and the people in Buffalo were so fantastic. They were very welcoming. There was nothing that was too much trouble, and even the extras that you're talking about were so warm and so, you know, just so excited to be part of it, which made us excited.
You know, Mr. Wolfington, one of the things that struck me talking with Alejandro's brother, Eduardo, was they have a real commitment to their faith. I mean, we don't think of Hollywood directors as being particularly religious people, but they really are.
Yeah, no, they're very committed. They're very, very committed. And they started a company. The whole concept was to make films that, you know, you hear a lot of people say make films that the family can see. We truly try and make great films that the family can see. We started Bella, Alejandro's first movie. And he came to my office, said, would I help him make a movie? And he put a computer with a light on the wall and start talking. I saw nothing. I expected to see something. I saw nothing. I said, did you ever do a movie? He said, I've only done a lot of shorts. I said, let me see one. And he showed me, when he was at Texas Film School, in the senior year, they picked four people to be directors, and they didn't pick him. So he said to the guy at the head of the school, said, look, I want to do my own movie. He said, we have no more equipment. So he went to New York on his credit card with what little funds he had, his lunch money, and he asked to see the head of Panasonic. And they said, well, he's too busy. But Alejandro's a pretty good talker. And finally, the president agreed to see him for 5 minutes. And he went up and he said, look, I'd like you to give me a film truck, all the equipment I need to make this film. The guy said, are you crazy? And called all the people around and said, listen to this kid. But he said, look, I'll call you in 2 weeks. He called him 2 weeks later and said, you got it.
Wow.
The day he showed up to get it, it was 9/11.
Oh.
And all he could get was a camera. And he took that camera and went out to Long Island. And he shot a short that blew my mind. I mean, I don't know movies, but I know great movies when I see them, and I know all the great movies I've seen. And he just blew my mind with his short. So I agreed to back him in the movie, and we won the Toronto Film Festival on our first movie.
It's an amazing story. Mr. Wolfington, I want to thank you very much for checking in with us and giving us the story about your involvement with this, and encourage people to look you up online and check out the many aspects of your storied career. And at the top of the pyramid, you're putting the Cabrini movie.
Absolutely.
Mr. Wolfington, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Eustace Wolfington joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. The whole car leasing thing in America, that's the guy behind it. His family started in the stagecoach business, and you can actually he's featured prominently in many documentaries on YouTube. Eustace, E-U-S-T-A-C-E, Wolfington, and it's spelled exactly like it sounds, kind of like Bowerly. anyway, welcome to the show. You Cabrini extras, we definitely want to hear from you on WBEN. Joe Machia was a Cabrini extra. Joe, thanks very much for checking in.
Yeah, Tom, the funny thing is the last couple of days of the shoot, when we were all the construction workers, we had taken that picture outside when we were all waiting to get called. And that's a great picture we have of all the guys in costume. And you were sitting right next to Frank Rossi at the time. But I think the interesting thing for me, I got to actually be an extra with my granddaughter. My granddaughter was in it. My wife only came in for like two scenes because she got bored. She didn't want to sit around. But I thought, you know, just thinking back and saying, you know, how many kids were in the movie? Because it was about the orphanage and the kids that were in the movie, and how many of their, you know, parents or, you know, siblings were in the movie with them. And I thinking, you know, just think about 20 or 30 or 40 years down the road. I know I'm not going to be around, but at least my granddaughter will have something to show her grandkids years down the road. And that's what excited me about being in the film. She actually took acting lessons from Frank, and you know, we had a heads up on what was happening. And so some of the funny things that happened with Frank is we went to an Italian club, and Frank was, you know, trying to find extras because you either had to look Italian or be Italian. And the guys in the club were all Italian. He said they didn't look Italian enough to be in the movie. So that's Frank.
Well, I mean, Frank was also at Russell Salvatore's Independence Day party and most recently the Labor Day party. Not that we stalk Frank Rossi. Actually, he's stalking me. Joe Mascia is with us. He was an extra. How many days did you shoot and what day will you remember the most and why?
I think we were there probably, like Bernie had said, probably some of the longest days. We were there right from the beginning, my granddaughter and I, all right till almost the end when it was the last shooting last week. And I think, you know, the most memorable parts were, you know, when they shot at that old village that they had made up over on Elk Street. I mean, I thought that was phenomenal. I'm a construction guy. And to see what they did to recreate two cities that were back in the 1890s, I think that was the highlight of what we did. You know, I mean, when Gigi was on talking about, you know, the all the people that played a part in it, and I think, Jesus, the stagehands that actually recreated those two streets, it was absolutely phenomenal. And I think that was one of the highlights of me being in an extra in the movie. How far back and how far they wanted to recreate the 1890s. And that was one of the highlights for me, is being involved in those two streets. I don't know if you got down there at all.
No, I didn't, but I was going to ask you, was that the scene where they wetted down the streets and people were overcome with the heat from the evaporating water?
Yeah, it was crazy because as muddy as the streets were, they wanted to make them muddier. They had fire hoses out, and every couple of hours, you know, on the hour, they would rip the streets down again. And, you know, we're wearing clothes that were period. And some of the shoes really weren't that weather-worthy. And, you know, in fact, my wife, the shoes that she had, her feet were mud. It wasn't even her shoes. But it was really great to see, you know, not only the actors, but like you said, they had animals that were goats, and they had horses, and it was really an interesting thing to be part of, to see how many people are actually involved with making it. And, you know, I don't think people who you know, never been in anything like this, I'm sure like you, to see how many people are actually involved in putting a movie together, it's astronomical. And everybody has, they know their jobs, they know what they have to do. And like Gigi said, they were all so nice. It was almost embarrassing how nice they were.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a dramatic improvement in the quality of food from the time things started until the end.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. The way they fed you, they wanted to make sure you were comfortable. Like you said, there was enough water, enough things to drink. Always had snacks that were available if you wanted a snack. But, you know, the other thing that got me is, and I don't know, you know, if it affected you or not, Tom, but some of the extras that were in the movie, I actually worked on construction with some of their parents and some of their grandparents. And, you know, we started talking, and, you know, the connection, you always say that your one degree of separation from somebody in Buffalo is so true, you know, because, you know, I met guys that, you know, like I said, I work with their brothers, I work with their fathers, a couple of guys I work with their grandfathers.
Right.
You know, it gets very nostalgic when you start talking about, you know, people's family that you wouldn't even know unless you were in the movie.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I would say, I mean, this is obviously, I didn't keep notes, but 90% of the people who were extras, if I didn't already know them personally, we both had a common friend. It was absolutely uncanny, but it's typical Buffalo.
Yeah, and I said it. That was the best part for me because my granddaughter was in a previous movie, and you know, I had to argue with my daughter about keeping her in the movie. But I said she's going to be 12 years old forever. You know, And this movie is the same thing. Now she's 15. And I said, she's going to be 15 years old forever. I'm going to be 76 years old forever. And it just, you know, there's a ring to it that, you know, like I said, Tom, 20 years from now, you know, you'll be able to get that movie and your children who are older will be able to say, hey, there's Dad. You know, and some people say, hey, there's my father, my grandfather, my grandmother were all in the movie. So it was phenomenal. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for calling in as a Cabrini extra. It was great working with you, and it was great, you know, hanging out with all the people that we had a chance to hang out with, and thank you very much.
Tom, before I hang up with you, some of the guys are meeting at a pizzeria on Sweet Home. I can't give you the name of it, but I'm sure you know where it is. Actually, one of the guys who were an extra owns the pizzeria. But we're going to be there from about 6 o'clock on, if you can swing by.
Yeah, you are aware that I dress like a slob, right?
We all do.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Macchia calling in. He was an extra on the movie. One of the things that struck me was, I think I said this earlier, but the number of ex-cops and current cops that were extras in the movie. I mean, you don't think of a police personality as also being a showbiz personality, but there's got to be something to it. I'm a big believer in personality types. I'm a big believer in certain people are just destined to do certain things. And are given the, I don't know, God-given, nature-given ability to do them and to want to do them. I got to tell you, I have acted before. Some people think I act every single day, and maybe there's something to it. But I don't know. It was my first movie, but I can't wait to take part in the next one. And obviously, you want bigger roles. And I was happy when I saw people getting speaking parts who were background extras. It was like, well, good for them. Because your first instinct is, damn it, I wanted a speaking part. But you got to move past that real fast and say, you know what, I didn't get it, but I'm really glad they did. And they did a terrific job. And, you can't ever begrudge somebody else's success. You got to be happy for other people's success. We'll send this happy 13th birthday out to Giancarlo, who called in earlier with his mom, Sarah, turning 13 years old today. Somebody actually put on Facebook, can we please talk about COVID, not this nonsense? Okay, let me just be real frank with you guys. Friends, I'm COVID-ed out, man. I'm COVID-ed out. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I just say, my God, am I going to do another COVID show? And yet I realize that that is what most people are talking about. But there's not a single person ever who can make the argument that I've not done enough COVID shows and I've not had Dr. Orient and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons on, or Peter McCullough, MD, on the program. Frankly, I think I've done a great job covering COVID. But like anything else, I need a break. I got to tell you, I've been doing this for 18 months, sometimes 6 days a week, and I am enjoying the break from talking about COVID, okay? Because I feel sometimes, like I say, the same stuff every single day, and like I haven't made a new point since last November. But anyway, I'm sorry if you wanted COVID talk today. I'm sure we'll be back at it Monday, but this is a really nice break. And I don't think, you know, let's put it this way. If you weren't involved in the movie Cabrini, you know somebody who was involved in the movie Cabrini. And if you don't know anybody who was involved in the movie Cabrini, you might wish to expand your social circles, because there were a whole lot of us who were extras or who in some small part took part in this epic movie. I mean, when Eustace Wolfington, the guy who got the money together to produce this thing, like 40, 50 million bucks, when he says it's going to be like Gandhi and the script experts gave it a 4.5 or a 5 out of 5 on the quality of script scale, this is something really cool that has happened in Buffalo, and it touched a lot of lives, frankly. So if you really want COVID talk, what you can do is go to WBEN.com. You can go to the audio archives and pretty much click on any show I've done since 2019. and you can listen to you can re-listen to all the COVID talk you want to hear. That's what you can do. So then you can have your COVID talk. I did 4 hours yesterday of the COVID complaint line. I'll probably bring that topic back on Monday. But for today, we're talking about something else. I can't remember in 40 years doing this, not even 9/11, did we spend a year and a half essentially doing the same show every day with some reprieves in the middle. But as grueling as some of the filming days for Cabrini were, doing the same show basically for a year and a half is also grueling, probably for you as it is for me. I'm finding this to be a very welcome change of pace, frankly. Anyway, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Okay, here's some COVID talk, okay, just so you don't go too deeply into the bowels of depression. The one thing that we all agreed upon at the COVID, Extras lounges and everything, were the COVID masking rules were absolutely ridiculous. You had to wear a mask, okay, when they fit you for a costume. But when they wanted to take your picture to send it to the casting people, you were allowed to take off your mask. Again, COVID's very, very smart. When you were inside the staging area, getting your wardrobe, putting your wardrobe on, being checked out, you had to have a mask on. Now, when they were doing your hair, you could take the mask off. When they were doing makeup, you could take the mask off. When we went outside, the mask was off. When we got onto the bus, the mask had to be on. During shoots, like inside shoots, for example, Buffalo City Hall, we sat with each other for 12 or 14 hours, not anybody wearing a mask. But you had to put a mask on if you stood up because you had to go to the bathroom or something. So everybody who was involved as an extra was saying the same stuff that we said on the radio show. Like, wow, this is one incredibly smart virus. And we had to get COVID tested, by the way, pretty much every day we worked. I probably have taken, I don't know, 8 COVID tests, including today, negative every time. So one of the things I do want to point out, look, I got to say this. I can't go a day without saying this. You know, I'm not a doctor. Don't know if you're aware of that. I do want to go to medical school, though, just so I can stop saying that and come back to do a radio show, because that makes a lot of sense at this point in my life. But what I hear is there are a lot of respiratory issues going around. So, I started off the show. I said something like, do you remember the times when you woke up with a fall cold and cough and you didn't go to get a special test done? But there's a lot of respiratory stuff going around. And so if you wake up coughing, I mean, look, I would say get tested. That's the smart thing to do. But you probably, you know, again, statistically, you're probably not going to test positive. If you do, obviously, you know what to do at that point. You work things out with your doctor. But yeah, there's a lot of junk going around. And I have a theory that the reason a lot of respiratory stuff is going around right now is that we've been too damned clean over the past year and a half, and we haven't allowed our immune systems to battle common pathogens. So our immune systems are sadly in need of a workout. That's my theory. It's not proven fact. But there is something called the hygiene theory of disease. We've talked about it before. All right, let's get back to the calls. Cabrini movie extras. And I don't want to ask everybody the same questions, so you can just launch into a spiel. But just remember that there are 7 dirty words you can't say on the radio, and I have to dump you and hang up on you if you use them. But that's the same every day. All right, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. And say hello to Cousin Vinny. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you.
Oh, are you recovering still, I guess, from your...
No, I am in Cabrini withdrawal. I miss seeing my friends from the movie. I miss the camaraderie.
Well, I do too. And, you know, I really owe it to my wife that I was even, in the movie. She saw the ad on the news and she said, you know, Vinny, you're sort of a ham and you've always wanted to do this. She said, why don't you apply? So I sent the application in to Frank, who I really want to thank for, you know, for choosing me. He was very, very honest. He said, we're looking for old Italians. So he looked at my picture and he said I fit the bill. So, you know, I got the job.
Wow. So how old are you, if I might ask?
I am 68.
Well, how many days did you shoot, sir?
Tom.
How many days did you shoot?
I did 18 days, and I did the four overnighters. And it was probably the best experience, of my life. It was really great.
Yeah, see, that's why, I mean, anybody wanting to know why we're doing this show, this is a very common sentiment. It was the best experience of my life. It changed my life. This was a really big deal for a lot of people, and I love hearing everybody's stories.
Yeah, and, everybody, on the set, the cast, the crew, everybody, the attention to detail was just unbelievable. I mean, you're working in a really, really, complex environment with sound, lighting, the sets, safety. It's a period piece. So we were working, a lot like with candles, with lanterns. They were very, very, careful.
Do you remember at Delaware Park when Rodrigo, his cape upended one of the lanterns?
I was there.
Yeah, I was there going, oh, this is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But they quickly had the situation in hand. Rodrigo's the world-class tenor who spent a lot of time in Buffalo, Villazon, if you want to look him up online. So, okay, when all is said and done, what is your lasting memory of being an extra in Cabrini?
I think, there were so many things. I think, working with all those great people, obviously, watching the children, I thought it was great. Just going through all the costumes, the makeup, it was just, just seeing how detailed and how complex it is to make a film. It was such an educational type of experience. It was really great. It was really great. And, I would do it again. I would do it 100 times again. It was great.
You and me both don't have enough vacation time for 100 times over, but let me work on that. I appreciate hearing from you, sir. Thank you very much. Cousin Vinny. All right. Those of you who were extras in Cabrini, tell us about your experiences. I mean, basically what we're hearing a lot of is, things like it changed my life. It was one of the best things I've ever done. And these are people who have, in many cases, lived very accomplished lives over the years. And then they get involved in something like this. And it's really something. It is really amazing to try a different racket or a different line of endeavor, if you prefer. Hearing from movie extras from Cabrini, many of us are in some semblance of withdrawal because it's been a part of our lives for several weeks. It is 3:52. Ah, there we go. 3:52 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and that's why you got to regard every mic as live. Let's get to the calls, everybody in order. Nicholas, you are on WBEN. You also were an extra. Tell us about your experience in Cabrini.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was my first movie. I took some acting classes from Frank Rossi, and it was an awesome experience. They actually selected me to be a pool waiter at the Club of Buffalo. So I was at an actual role. I got an actual role, and I think that was probably my best experience, because I want to be a big-time actor. I've been to L.A., New York City, all around the U.S., just seeing if this is something I could do, like the big-time Hollywood lifestyle, the fast life. And, I was just really interested in it. And, I had my first movie set, and it was the real deal. Life, camera, action, take deep breaths. And just get over myself, get over the anxiety of the camera and just really focus in and just, channel myself. It was very different for me. It was a great experience though.
As far as the role you played, tell us more about it.
Okay, so just by the look of me, I'm 175 pounds, 6 foot tall. So they said that I looked exactly like a good waiter back in the day, which is actually kind of ironic because I'm a server at Brookfield Country Club. So I actually do what they selected me for in real life. So it was kind of, you know, cool and ironic because, you know, they said I looked the part of a old time classy server. Now I was serving these rich guys. I brought up a cup of coffee to these rich gentlemen, made sure that was okay, and then looked and catered to other rich guys that were sitting around the pool. They also selected a couple of models from locally from Buffalo, and they were pool boys. And the costumes they were wearing were crazy. They were like back in the day in the 1890s. These costumes looked like girl bathing suits. And they were all wool. So I'm kind of glad that I got the pool waiter part instead of the, you know, the costumes. But, I mean, it was just insane. I mean, we were short one or two pool boys, and they went to the Club of Buffalo in the gym and selected just random guys to be pool boys. And these guys are big-time, you know, businessmen in Buffalo. I mean, it's very expensive to go to the Club of Buffalo. So they would just go in the gym and ask these guys if they want to be in a movie. And they're like, sure, yeah, let's do it right now. And it was just really cool how to see how everything works. And I'm just excited, you know, and I'm humbling myself to just get into business and try to make a career out of it.
Well, good luck. We can all hear the excitement in your voice. I hope things work out for you. And hang in there.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Good stuff. I love enthusiastic callers. And he was one. Oh, I actually play three parts in the movie. I'm a waiter, and I had the goatee. I, as a wealthy American, and I had the mustache, and then I was totally clean-shaven to be a construction worker, and somebody called me a chameleon, which is probably, I mean, if you're going to be compared to a creeping lizard, I'll go with chameleon, you know, better than a snake, viper.